That's a lot of games, Steve.
It's a lot of games, a lot of meals, a lot of everything. So
I don't know if we averaged 30. If we did, that's like
it's 500.
That's like 500.
That's like 500, 510 games.
Oh, my Lord. That's crazy.
It is. I mean, it's driven you crazy.
Well, you have. Not it, but yeah. You knew that already.
I knew that. All right. The job you love, the games you love, but one element does, you know, drive you crazy.
If we could just do something about the play-by-play guy.
Absolutely.
But what are you going to do? He's part of the scenery. So that's the way it is.
All right. Hey, by the way, John Hare and Myron Jones both got honorable mention All Big Ten. Jamari Wheeler was All Defensive Team.
So, okay.
So,
I would have hoped, were there two teams, Steve, or
three teams, media and coaches, and John and Myron made it on the media, and the coaches vote for the All Defensive Team. So Jamari made the All Defensive Team.
Okay.
Two steals.
I maybe one of them could have made a. One of the top three teams, but oh well. On to Nebraska.
On to Nebraska, as they say, Dick. There's something about this team. When you sit back, there are different categories. What's the best team you've seen at Penn State? All right, this team won't be that, but it can be among your favorite teams. Why would it be in that category?
Yeah, I like their heart, Steve, probably more than anything else because. I mean, it's been bizarre for so many reasons, right? Specifically for this team, what was it, October 21st when Coach Chambers resigned?
Right.
So that's the element that doesn't happen every day when you lose your coach literally right as the season is about to start. So that was difficult for them. And then the way the season played out with all of those just brutal losses. And a lot of these guys were there for the ones 2 years ago as well. And to finish up the regular season, now that I think about it, it was actually 30-9 until Maryland scored at the buzzer in the last 10 minutes on Sunday was really impressive. And that was kind of the way they've done it the whole season. They'd have this just horrible loss at the end where something crazy would happen or they'd miss an open shot or somebody get fouled on the other team. And then the next game, you never knew what happened. And that's hard to do. So that's what I've admired most about this group is that they just – it's like when the next game started, the last game never happened. And that's difficult. It would have been easy to go into a funk and just, all right, this is not going to work out. Not going to be our season, but it never happened. And so, yeah, that's kind of why it's my favorite group in all the time we've been doing it. As you said, obviously not the best group, but that's really not always relevant to what's happening anyway.
John Hare and Jamari Wheeler are two guys that have been part of the glue and the fabric of what's happened here. You and I get the privilege of watching guys get better over time. Where have you watched the two of them get better?
Yeah, I mean, really everywhere. Jamari specifically with his shooting. He was a guy, every time he shot his first 2 years, you cringed. Because you said there's just no way it's going in, right? I mean, 16% on threes. Couldn't make a free throw. But was on the court because he was such a good defender. And he's a guy that could, even with that, help your team win. Well, now this third and fourth year, all of a sudden, he can make three-point shots. He can make free throws, especially in the clutch. He's more than doubled his shooting percentage from the arc. So there's that. And I think in all of it, Steve, he's gotten better in everything, just understanding circumstances. His passes are more accurate. They're in, there's an assist, and then there's a perfect assist, the one that gives the shooter a best chance.
Right.
He's done that much better his last 2 years. So that's been cool. And, I think he's going to go down as one of the all-time inspirational Penn State basketball players because the effort he gives, That's right. I frankly was a little surprised he didn't do a little better on the like a coach's team.
Right.
Because I would think every coach in the league has to love how he plays. That would be how they would want all their players to play. Is he the most gifted offensive player in the league? No, but he's now come to the point where you better guard him. And some guys, you better double team. I mean, he didn't have good footwork. He looked a little clumsy for a first couple of years. And that's no longer the case. He's fluid. That's hard work. And he's an amazing rebounder, one of the best offensive rebounders in the country,
The
best in the conference for sure, in a league of a lot of good big men, which I guess is why he couldn't make one of the top three teams.
Right.
Because there's so many good big men, and I get that. But, yeah, just to watch them. And look, both of their personalities are great. I don't know what their plans are for next year. Obviously, they want to play another year of college basketball. They can. They could do it here. They could do it somewhere else. It's up to them. Or they could not do it at all. But whatever team they play on here, somewhere else, somewhere professionally, or not even basketball, whatever they want to do, they're going to be successes just because of the personalities they have. When they play and other players gravitate to them because, they watch what they do and they say, hey, I want to be part of it.
Obviously, COVID, and look, the fact that we are going to be talking about a Big Ten tournament, I think, is considering if we went back to September, August, is remarkable because you and I were sitting at a P.F. Chang's in Indianapolis about a year ago today, almost to the day when we found out that there would be no Big Ten tournament. So how remarkable has it been, Dick, that we actually got to this point?
Yeah, very. Because, look, in November, the virus and COVID looked a whole lot different than it did now.
Yeah.
We did not, I think we were still maybe a week, couple of weeks, maybe just the vaccine had just come out. Like people said, we're going to have a vaccine, but They hadn't gotten approved and, nobody knew what the distribution was going to look like. So all that's obviously changed dramatically over a couple of months because I think there were a lot of people very skeptical going, all right, yeah, you might start the season, but it's just going to be stop and start and nobody knows how it's going to do that. Turned out the Big Ten played all but four conference games, which is pretty amazing. When you consider where we were at the start, and some schools got to play all their games. Maryland didn't miss a game. So from that standpoint, yeah, the fact that we've gotten through it, as far as I know, there's not a single Division I player, I think man or woman, that's gotten really, really sick. If there is, nobody knows about it.
Right.
That's an incredible.
I haven't heard of any. I have not heard of anybody hospitalized in football or basketball.
Right. So if you think about that, I don't know what the odds are were on that. Look, they're athletes by their nature are going to be in better shape than the general population. They're younger, so there's that chance. But just nobody. I mean, that tells you the testing and what lengths Penn State and other schools have gone to make it safe for the players. So, look, it's been great. It's been weird. We've all missed the fans. You and I have missed going on the road.
Yeah.
But you're giving up something this year, but we got what we got. And, in our case, we don't know how many more we got. We're going to find out starting on Wednesday.
starting on Wednesday, we're going to find out about that. The level of play we've seen in the conference, what have you the conference has received a lot of publicity. The Big 12, by the way, also justifiably has received a lot of publicity. How good has the basketball been in this conference, the Big Ten, this season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm a minority viewpoint, Steve, and maybe it's because of the eyes that I look at it through. I thought the league was better last year. And I thought a couple of reasons. One, Michigan State was dramatically better last year.
Yes.
Penn State obviously was better. Michigan State's the flagship program in the league to me. And has been for quite a long time. Then you look around and say, well, who's better? Well, Michigan's better, right? Illinois is better. I think Iowa's better. Maryland's not nearly as good.
No.
Rutgers, I think, is the same. Minnesota's not as good, although they weren't very good last year.
Indiana's not as good.
So, Yeah, it's one of those things. I actually think, look, and we do Big Ten games. I think the Big 12 is the better league. I think they have more.
I agree with that.
Teams.
Actually, I agree with that, Dick. I think the Big 10 is not only is the Big 12, I think, a little bit better right now, just personal opinion, but they're more entertaining.
Yeah. I think the proof is going to be obviously in the games in Indianapolis when they start playing. We'll see. I mean, that doesn't always tell you, but you know, if you see five Big 12 teams in the Sweet 16, am I going to be surprised? No, just not. And I think some of the Big 10 teams are a little more vulnerable at the top than the Big 12 teams. But it's hard until you see these teams actually play each other. What's going to happen? But we'll see. But look, it's been really good. It's been fun. There's certainly some great players. I mean, you got, I would suspect, two first-team All-Americans out of the league and Garza and DeSumo. That doesn't happen every year. You have a potential National Coach of the Year in Juwan Howard. That doesn't happen. So, you know, it's been a really, really good year. But just for me, I do not think this group overall is any better than last year. And that's not knocking this group because I thought last year was really, really good.
I thought last year was exceptional. I thought it was the best year I ever saw in the Big Ten was last year.
Yeah,
right now, right, and that doesn't mean it doesn't mean this isn't one of the top 5 years because I think it is.
Yeah.
But there's something about the depth of last year where you're looking around at the 10th place team and going, really, got to play that group?
Yeah, I mean there really was only one team that just couldn't play last year, and that was Nebraska. Mm-hmm. That was really Fred Hoiberg had no chance. He was starting over.
Right.
You know, by the end of last year, and Penn State found out about it, unfortunately, Northwestern to become like a very good team.
Right.
They just lost a million close games, not unlike what's happened to Penn State this year. But it's been great. I just think, you know, last year just was unfulfilling, right? Because there was no ending.
Right.
You wanted to see what was going to happen, and that'll be the Michigan State by the end looked like they could play in the Final Four. At Penn State, I'm convinced, would have won games in the multiple games in multiple tournaments.
Same here.
In the postseason. But it'll go into the what-if category, Steve.
Let me bring something up. It's a Lamar Stevens point. Lamar Stevens had over 100 double-figure games in his Penn State career and obviously multiple double-figure rebounding games. So obviously, you know, in getting ready for the tournament, you'll do a little advance work. So I've done a little advance work. Luka Garza's had a phenomenal career. He's got 96 double-figure games in his career, right? And he played 4 years like Lamar did.
Well, the difference is this. Lamar was ready-made when he walked on campus.
Yep.
And Garza was not.
And Garza did a great job of making himself into this.
Absolutely. Now, Steve, we saw him in his first Big Ten game.
Yeah.
Right? It was Penn State's first Big Ten game of 17-18 at Iowa. And if you had told me, if they're watching, they had to take him out because he couldn't guard anybody.
Right.
And he was trying to guard Mike Watkins, and it was not happening. If you had told me, after that game, he's the all-time leading scorer in Iowa history, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
So, yeah, all credit to him. That freshman year, he was just another guy, whereas Lamar in his freshman year was the MVP of the NIT. Do I have that right? Oh, no, he was the next
sophomore year.
The next year. Garza's sophomore year, freshman year was Lamar's sophomore year.
Right.
So, yeah, Lamar had already, you know, he already had a really, really good freshman year at that point. When he played against Garza for the first time. But, yeah, no, I did not see that coming. I think that's really it. I think Lamar, coming out of Roman Catholic, already had a Big Ten body. He was already physically able to match up with the players in the league, where at that point Luka really was not.
Right. Yeah. I know it's a year past, but in going through Lamar's career, I know this is such past tense stuff, but it's just still, even to this day, didn't think he got his just due. I thought Cassius Winston got his just due. I feel like Garza always does, and they deserve it. I mean, Cassius deserved all this stuff he got. Luka deserves all he got. I always thought like a guy like Lamar Stevens was an afterthought, and then you start comparing some stuff and realize, like, a better career than some of these guys did.
Yeah, he did. Because he was so consistently good from the first moment that he played, and Yeah, in talking to Jim Ferry this year, he's you know, look, there's a couple things this group lacks. Obviously, one is the defensive size around the rim. There's just, you know, if you can get there, generally you're probably going to score. Unlike in past years where you might have had Lamar Stevens or Mike Watkins blocking your shots, that's one thing. The other thing is they don't have a guy. All right, there's it's late on the shot clock. You're dying to make a shot.
Yeah,
let's throw it to this guy. That was Lamar Stevens for 4 years. And generally, he's going to get a higher percentage shot because it's closer to the basket. He's 6'8", not like 6'4", for Myron Jones, who's a great player, but just a different kind of player. So, yeah, you miss that consistency of basically knowing before every game starts, you're going to get this, this, and this.
Right.
And also, very few people ever get noticed for this. And I know I've made this point to you. By the end, he was a great college defensive player.
Yep.
And it's one of the reasons, I have no doubt, why he made an NBA roster. And he's in the rotation at Cleveland. He's never going to dazzle you with his long-range shooting ability, but he can keep other guys from scoring, and that's a talent that gets you, that makes you a lot of money in your career.
Yeah, because moving forward in the program, Sam Sessoms is maybe the best guy late shot clock at breaking you down off the dribble, but he's not 6'8" like Lamar.
Correct.
That's the difference. They don't have that guy outside of Sam that really can break you down late shot clock off the dribble.
Yeah, that's the other thing about Lamar. He was 6'8" and could handle it. I mean, he could bounce it. He's not like a guy that was a two-bounce guy.
Right.
He could bounce it 10 times if he needed to get somewhere to finish a play. And he could finish a play.
Well, we finished up another one here. So I texted him yesterday, and I said, we'll just do what we do. And Dick texts back and says, exactly what is that? By the way,
trying to figure it out.
All I know is life is good.
There you go. Indeed it is. I watched him again this morning. He's still fit.
By the way, when is the Santa Anita Derby?
First Saturday in April.
Whatever
that date is. Yeah, the Derby's early this year. The Derby is May 1st.
Yeah, May 1st. That's when Life is Good is running again.
Correct. And they'll bring out a few mannequins to try to run against them, and it won't work out well for them.
Never does for mannequins.
Nah, they need four legs, and they only have two, and it's not good enough.
Well, you're good enough. Hey, appreciate you, pal. See you tomorrow night.
You got it. All right, Steve.